Welcome to another family Bible study. Again, we have the privilege and the pleasure of looking together into the Word of God. Anytime we can sit down with the Bible and start reading it and thinking about it and talking about it, it's always very, very healthy. Of course, the problem is the Bible is so difficult. Again and again, we think, well, I finally have learned that I know now what to do with that phrase or what that and so on. And then we keep reading and we find another verse which has the same phrase or the same idea in it, and it just doesn't quite, then we don't know what to do. And it really keeps us very humble, that we never can say, well, I know it, I'm an expert in the Bible. It just isn't that way. We always have to come to the Bible very humbly. Oh Lord, I don't know anything. Please teach me. Now, we're in Jeremiah 51, and for a long time, in Jeremiah 50 and 51, God has been talking about the destruction of Babylon, and we have learned very accurately, I'm sure, that Babylon refers to all the end of the church age, but it also refers ultimately to the end of the world, because during this final period of time, which the Bible calls Great Tribulation, which goes on for 8,400 days, beginning in May of 1988 and going on to May 21 of 2011, a period of 8,400 days. It's a time of testing, a time of testing, a time when God is separating the wheat from the tares, and a time when he is already bringing his wrath on the churches. Of course, this has really been emphasized when we have learned a long time ago already that God installed Satan, of all things, to be the ruler in the churches so that he would be there like an angel of light, as we read in 2 Corinthians 11, and his ministers of righteousness. What a horrible, horrible, horrible situation that is. And there's no let up in it. In the world, Satan was installed to rule in the world beginning at the same time that he was installed to rule in the churches. But at the end of 2,300 days, around 6 years of that time, then there was relief because God again began to bring in the harvest of those whom he had planned to save, and so in the world there is a lot of mercy shown, and that's why it is so wonderful that we can talk to the world and emphasize, look, we're right up near the end of time, but there's mercy, cry out to God for mercy. And then God gave us that fantastic illustration of the book of Jonah, where here is the Ninevites, wicked beyond measure, and who knew nothing about the Bible, and they're told in 40 days you're going to be destroyed, and there God gives us the instruction. Now, how do you react? You don't react with 1 ounce of pride. You react with complete humility, complete humbleness, crying out to God for mercy. God speaks of them sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Well, this is the mercy of God, that we can talk about the mercy as well as the fact that Christ is coming in judgment. But now we're in Jeremiah 51, and God had said, for example, in verse 11, make bright the arrows, gather the shields, Jehovah hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of Jehovah, the vengeance of the temple. God here is tying this into the Medes and the Persians, because remember we learned last time that God raised up the Medes and the Persians, headed up by Cyrus, who is also called Darius in the Bible. And in the year 539, which was the end of 70 years of terrible situation in the land of Judah, beginning in 609 BC, King Hosea, the last one, he was a wonderful king, one of the most God-fearing kings they ever had. And while he's still strong and healthy, he's killed in battle. This is all God's plan, so that instantly they come under the rule of Egypt, which typifies the kingdom of Satan. And then after very few years, Egypt is conquered by Babylon. And then from 609 until 539, Babylon reigns the whole 70 years. It's interesting, again, as we talk about numbers, that 70 years typified the great tribulation of 8,400 days. And you look how the number 84 is featured, because how many months are there in 70 years? 70 years, there are 840 months. And so again, we see that number 84 and the number 10. 8,400, of course, is 10 times 10, but it's still the same number of completeness. And then at the end of that 539 years, Cyrus or Darius go to the city of Babylon and conquer it. We read about it in the book of Daniel. And again, the cry goes out, you can return to Jerusalem. There is hope for you there. And there's still 40 or 50,000 people. Israel has really been decimated in all that time of great tribulation. But there are still 40 or 50,000 people that go back to Jerusalem. And that is really typifying the rapture, because it's at the end of the Great Tribulation, the 8,400 days, that the rapture does come. But here God is speaking against Babylon. Started out with reference to the Medes, for his device, I'm reading verse 11 of Jeremiah 51, is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of Jehovah, the vengeance of his temple. And the word temple here is a synonym for the representation, the kingdom of God. It is God's plan as in connection with his kingdom. Yes, I'll use Babylon, I'll use Satan to bring my wrath into the churches, to prepare the world for judgment. And oh my, we're living in that time. And our eyes bug out when we see the kind of sin that is going on today. It's incredible, and it's not getting better. It's getting worse and worse and worse very, very rapidly, because Satan is ruling. And in the churches, he comes as an angel of light. He looks like everything is sweet and happy and kind, but it's still Satan who is ruling. But now God is talking about the destruction of Babylon, that finally churches will be completely destroyed and the work of Satan will be completely destroyed. And so in verse 12, and this is where we begin our study, set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon, make the watch strong, set up the watchmen, prepare the ambushes. For Jehovah hath devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. Now, first of all, the inhabitants of Babylon are the churches and the whole world too, because as we've indicated that Satan is the ruler of the whole world. His kingdom has become magnificent. It is stronger than it ever has been, apparently. It has certainly had billions more people in it than ever. It looks like he really has won. And when we look out into the world and see the cause of Christ in the world, what do we see? Disaster after disaster. Go to this denomination, go to that church, go to that group of so-called believers, and you're just appalled at what you find there. And the more we know from the Bible, so that we can really examine the doctrines that are being taught in these places as compared with their way they're taught in the Bible, then we are really aghast at how horrible it is that they are so far from the teachings of the Bible. You can give illustrations in just a moment. All we have to think about is when a church is holding a meeting with the churches to enhance the position of the homosexuals and in also in their own churches and in their own pastorates and so on. And we just are looking on in amazement at how could it ever have become this bad? Because Satan rules. Because God has prepared this church world, as well as the whole world, for judgment day. So when the day of judgment comes, from that standpoint, nobody is going to be surprised that this has happened. They're going to be amazed that finally the end of the world has come, with sorrow and sadness and all kinds of other feelings and anger against God. The Bible teaches that certainly. But the fact is, they will know that this has to be. Well, now here God in verse 12 kind of gives us more detail. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Now, what standard is this? You know, I think we talked about this at another time. And you know, when you are going to be the victor in a war, you want your flag there where you're trying to go, so that indicates we have won in this area. And the standard that's going to be set up in Babylon is that Christ reigns there. He is the standard. He is going to, he is in charge. He has given it all over to Satan for 8,400 days, but then suddenly Satan has lost everything. He has no strength, and God has set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Remember again, Babylon in the first instance are all of the churches all over the world, but in the larger sense, it's over the entire world. To destroy it, set up the standard, against the walls of Babylon, make the watch strong, set up the watchman. Now the word watch here can be translated guard. But actually, when we look at that word watchman here as it relates to the whole Bible, we find this is the time when all the statements about watchmen, really, or most of them, I haven't checked every one in the Bible, but many that we have checked, both in the Old and the New Testament, we find that they relate to the fact that God will, it has to do with knowing what is going on, really knowing what is going on. You know, when the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, in Mark chapter 13, for example, he says in verse 34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when a man, master of the house, cometh at even, whether he cometh at even or at midnight, or the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he will find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you, watch. And God is really driving home that point. And then we look at a passage like Revelation chapter 3, and there we discover why we are to watch. We read in Revelation 3, verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. In other words, set up the watchman. That is, where's the watchman to watch? Well, the first place we look at is in the Bible, in the Bible. We see the wickedness in the world. We know something is going on. This world is falling apart so rapidly we can't believe it, morally and spiritually, and it's just falling apart. But we have the fact here of watching. Here, let's go back to Jeremiah 51. And as he talks about watching, he says set up the watchman. And this is exactly what the true believers are. We are the watchman. Because God is saying, set up the watchman, because in God's mercy, in his kindness, in his love, he is telling the world what's going to happen. In other words, this is a strange war. It is not a war where God is keeping everything, one side is keeping everything absolutely secretive. Oh, there are certain things that God keeps secretive from people. But on the other hand, for the true believers who are in harmony with God and who are listening to God very carefully, we have all the secrets. He's laying it all out for us, showing just what the judgment program is. Okay, he says, set up the watchman, prepare the ambushes. The word ambush is used in different ways in the Bible. Sometimes they're laying in wait, like a bear lying in wait. One of the outstanding places, for example, is in the book of Judges, when you see the destruction of the city of Ai. The Israelites, they set up an ambush. They put a lot of men over here, group of people, like they were going to attack the city. The people of Ai came out, the soldiers came out, and then these people began to run like, ooh, you're going to kill us. And then the people in ambush entered the city and set it on fire. And in other words, God used extreme deception in order to conquer Ai, and that has been used from time to time. And it's interesting that as God has come to this time in history, he is using extreme deception. We read about that very directly in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he said he will send them a strong delusion. That's deception. That's deception. So on the one hand, God is allowing the churches to grow into mega churches, and everything looks like sweetness and light and like God's blessing within them. And yet it's an ambush, because they're just being prepared for judgment day. And God is giving them no truth in their minds. He is many things in the Bible that we read and we think it's saying one thing, until God opens our eyes, and then we see that it's saying something quite different. And these are the ambushes. For example, God has said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And to give strength to that, what that apparently is saying, he writes in Acts, Paul? Paul and Silas, they were talking to the jailer of Philippi. So what must I do to be saved? The jailer said. And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's an ambush. That's an ambush. Because if you take that just at face value, and it seems like it's so plain, it's setting you up for a salvation program that will guarantee to land you in under the wrath of God. You'll be killed by it. Why? Because people look at that and they say, oh, yeah. And every human being has the capacity to believe. The very fact that you're sitting on that chair is because you believe that it'll carry your weight. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting on that chair. The fact that you came into this room without a gun on your hip is because you believed that it was safe here. I don't know if it is or not, but anyway, the fact is that we all walk by faith. We do really walk by faith. This is an inner way God has created us, that we can have some faith. And we can believe that Christ is the Savior, that Christ is the one that we have to trust in. And doesn't God say then, if I believe on him, I will be saved? So the whole church has bought that. All the churches have bought that idea, but they haven't finished reading. The Holy Spirit hasn't directed them to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, where it says faith is work. Or 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, faith, the work of faith. And faith is the noun for the word that is believe in as a verb. And so immediately we say, oh, watch out. This is an ambush God is laying for us, because he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. But faith is work. Believing is work. And the Bible absolutely guarantees that if we put our trust in anything we have done, any work we have done, we will not become saved. And so people are trapped all over time and all over the world by these ambushes. And there are many, many of them in the Bible. That's why we have to read the Bible so very carefully. When Christ spoke in parables, that's an ambush. We have to recognize, yes, it's true that if we believe on him, we shall be saved. But that's because we believe as a result of the fact that Christ saved us. And if once we are saved, then faith is a good work. Believing is a good work, like love and joy and peace and any other obedience to the word of God is a good work, and it is a result of our salvation. Well, those are illustrations of ambushes.